All right, Friday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Joe Heathen's on. Johnny F62 is on. Granite 2468 is on. Jules 21 Hours is on. Conservative Warrior is on. Bascom Avenue is on. Big Scott 1 is on. Robin Aroni is on. Key Lime 13 is on. Sexy Pony is on. Joe Heathen is on. Mike Griffith is on. Michelle Tal is on. Robin Aroni is on. Six Lynn is on. D9597 is on. S. Clark 1968 is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Just Fact is on. Naz Yeager is on. Veronica 18201 is on. Stefan Toms is on. Grenadum is on. Hanslick Donovan is on. Regina Loves Art is on. Sheila K is on. Let's see. PD Frank is on. K4. VMS is on. Coco DeMinkey's on. Motown GBH JBH is on. Waterline 46 is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Joe Enns is on. Order in the Court is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Mark 1069 is on. PGA Wiles 1 is on. Judy Anita is on. Let me see here. USA Abbey Girl is on. Lisa Kinzer is on. Pumpkin Drifting on Wood is on. Let me see here. Scrolling down. What is up with my thing here? There we go. Fixing it. There we go. Those Jesus People is on. DC941 is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Charlie340 is on. JC360 is on. Biggie92678 is on. PSU is on. Confederate One is on. Let me see. I miss anybody here. Uncle Wally's on. Lady Boo's on. You already saw that one. Just Jesse's on. Trying to pick out. I know sometimes I say your names twice. It's hard to remember. There we go. Black Horse is on. One of the Pride is on. All right. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. All right. Let's hop on. The numbers do not lie. Let's go to the border first. Wesley Hunt video exposed the Democrat border bill scam. Play for me.
Because Congress hadn't passed a bill. Watch here. This is what they said.
It's the toughest, most efficient, most effective border security bill this country has ever seen.
Democrats were on their back foot on immigration. Now we are on our front foot.
Look, the president has been very clear. We need that bipartisan border security bill.
By any objective measure, it's strong, tough, and realistic.
I will bring back the bipartisan border security bill that he killed, and I will sign it into law.
Look, a bill from Congress might be welcome, but you all have shown in 1 month you were able to shut down the border.
Because we got a strong president. President Trump did in 3 weeks what Joe Biden didn't do in 4 years. And that bipartisan border bill, look, I respect Senator Lankford. He called me, walked through that bill with me. He asked me to support it. I said no. I'm not okay with 4,000 or 5,000 illegal aliens a day crossing this border as being normal. I don't want that in statute. I'm not okay with a bill that doesn't address sex trafficking of women and children. And right now, you look at the numbers, what President Trump has did, we went from an average at the highs of 10,000 to 11,000 a day under Biden to 200. 11,000 to 200, the gotaways that I spoke about, 1,800 on a day average under Joe Biden. You know what I saw the other day? 41. 1,800 to 41. We won't be happy to have number zero, but look at the strides President Trump made in 3 weeks
that Joe Biden
could have done.
Mm-hmm. Sir, there is...
You know, just imagine being a rhino Republican or a Democrat right now, and you sat there before the American people week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, saying, you know what? We need comprehensive border reform. The immigration system is broken. Whenever Kamala Harris was asked about the immigration system, she would talk about one of two things or both of them. We need to address the root causes. Have we addressed the root causes? No. Is the border open? No. The root cause has been addressed? No. Do they need to be addressed? No. You simply shut down the border. Or she would say, we need comprehensive border reform. She would always say, well, the immigration system has been broken for a long time. And, you know, it'll take a bipartisan border security bill to it'll take, you know, the Congress and the executive working together, all these different things. And all of that is just simple, you know, word salad. That's just simple globalist verbiage so they can continue on funding the NGOs that facilitate people into our country. That's all that it's about. It's simple. It's just empty words. It's just word salad, empty words. We need comprehensive border reform. We have to address the root causes. We have a broken immigration system. We have a broken immigration system. We don't. Yeah. How you know what you always need to do with these people is say, just tell me line by line. Give me a list of five things of how the border is broken. And they never can do it because it's not about that. It's about propaganda. It's propagandizing so that you can keep the NGOs, which are completely and totally staffed by Democratic Party activists who give Kamala Harris a job when she leaves office, Lloyd Austin a job when she leaves office for multi-millions of dollars. Those NGOs form other NGOs. Those NGOs fund Democratic Party campaigns, which enrich the spouses of the people that are running for political office, all for Democrats. All of it now has gotten to the place where we need to be wondering, is any Democrat an actual millionaire, or were they made a millionaire like, I mean, Stacey Abrams? Stacey Abrams was worth minus $20,000 four or five years ago. Now she's worth over $3 million because she was given, her organization was given $7 billion, $7 billion. And now she's worth $3 million because she's getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Actually, hers wasn't given $7 billion. Hers was given half a billion dollars. Think about it. If you're given $500 billion, how long can you, I mean, $500 million, how long can you make that last? You can have an organization that runs for 50 years, and not only that, you have the interest spinning on itself so that $500 million turns into a billion in just a couple years. So you sit there, you have a job paying yourself $800,000 a year, $1 million, $1.5 million a year. And that's all that it's ever been about. And Kamala Harris talks about addressing root causes, we need comprehensive border reform, we have a broken immigration system. That's just delay tactics so that the NGOs, Catholic Services, Jewish Family Services, and numerous others, because Elon Musk believes that we have tens of thousands of NGOs in this country receiving government money. And when you're bringing in, you know, $5 trillion a year worth of tax revenue, you can fund a lot of NGOs, but none of that money's going to the actual needs of the American people or things that will actually profit the American people or help the American people or defend the American people. It goes to, it really is, life is as simple. It has gone for years now. We're almost $37 trillion in debt. All so that Democrats, and not Republicans, some rhino Republicans, yes, like the Romneys of the world, McConnells of the world, the Grahams of the world, the McCains of the world, but not so Republicans and conservatives can live high on the hog, simply so that Democrats can live high on the hog. And boy, when we get to Doge, you'll see all the examples of that. But from the border, the actual numbers are this. Remember, we need to address the root causes. No, we don't. We need a comprehensive, bipartisan border security bill. Well, we got one from James Cuckboy Lankford. Him and Schumer put that together. And it still facilitated over 5,000 people a day into the country. And by the way, that 5,000 didn't even start to count the 5,000 until you got to 5,000 Canadians or Mexicans. So they wouldn't even, until you got to that 5,000, everybody else could come in. So if you had 30,000 Guatemalans show up, 30,000 Chinese show up, 30,000 Venezuelans show up from Trendyagua, they would all be let in before it doesn't even count against the 5,000. So you could still let in 50,000 people a day. The count didn't even start till you got to 5,000 Canadians or Mexicans. That's when it would be shut off. When finally you got 5,000 Mexicans and Canadians. How many Canadians are coming across the border every day? 300? I mean, 200? 100? 50? 60? 10? Who knows? How many? There's hardly any Mexicans across the border anymore. They've already all crossed the border, the ones that are going to cross the border. The rest of them are being shipped up via the cartels to cross the border. But here's the new numbers. So according to Kamala Harris, we need to address the root causes. No, you don't. Shut the border. We have a broken immigration system. No, you don't. Shut the border. We need a bipartisan border security bill. Nope. Shut the border, because here's the new numbers. Because Trump is 45 days in office, now 46. And pretty soon it'll be the number of his new presidency, 47. But anyway, so Trump in 3 days shut down the border. We are 93% shut down in 3 days. Imagine being a Democrat or a Republican that believed that you had to have a bipartisan border security bill. I mean, if it was me and I sat there and propagated that and gaslit the American public, or maybe I was just stupid enough to believe it, I would come out to a podium and say, you know what? I was wrong. If I was James Cuckboy Lankford right now and Mitch McConnell and all the rest of the rhino Republicans like Murkowski and Collins and Romney, and you propagated the exact same myth and lie as Kamala Harris with root causes, a bipartisan border security bill, our immigration system is broken, and it's just going to take time to fix it. It doesn't take time to fix it. It doesn't take any more time to fix an open border than it does to say robbery's a crime, I'm going to enforce it, and I'm going to arrest people who rob people. It would be like if you had rampant robbery in Cleveland, Ohio, and you say, well, the criminal justice system is broken because we have rampant robbery. No, you're not arresting the robbers. It's not, the system's not broken. So now the new numbers are this. crossings per day under the Biden administration were 11,000 per day. Now they are 200. 200. I mean, imagine being a Democrat and you don't come out and apologize and say you were wrong. You don't give any credit. You just call Trump a liar. When, I mean, the numbers do not lie. You have been proven definitively wrong. Why are you not coming out and repenting? Why are you not coming out and retracting? Why are you not coming out and apologizing? The gotaways have gone from 1,800 a day to 41. 41 people a day get away from the CBP. 41 a day. And only 200 people a day. So really about 250 people a day across the border. 250 people a day. From Biden's height of 15,000 a day. 320,000 a month. A month. Think about it. I mean, that's where we're at now. The numbers do not lie. Imagine being a Democrat and you have to defend. How do you defend your former border czar, Kamala Harris? How do you defend your former DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas? How do you do it? How do you live with yourself? If it was me, I'd be going, man, the Democrats are whooping us. If it was me and the Trump administration and the numbers were reversed, Trump was allowing in 15,000 a day and Biden was allowing in 200 a day, Aaron, wouldn't you? We'd come out and say you're wrong.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? I mean, I'd come out and say, where are they? Because they are disingenuous people who are lacking a soul, lacking all human dignity, lacking all integrity. Let's go to the next one. George video. This is the funniest thing I've seen in 2025. Here's the South African president now and then fooling around and finding out. Play it for me.
Donald Trump must leave us alone. He must leave us alone, Kaori.
You said that you were going to cut aid from South Africa. Will you plan to cut aid across other African nations, and why South Africa?
No, it's only South Africa.
We are committed to having a good relationship with the United States, and we do relate to them in a number of ways. And what has ensued now with the Secretary of State not attending?
Why can't Biden ever rectify these diplomatic situations? So here you have this big talker fooling around. For me, FAFO is fooling around and finding out. Here you have him fooling around. We want Trump to leave us alone. We want Trump to leave us alone. And Trump says, fine, I'm cutting off all dollars to South Africa. The reporter says, are you cutting them off to other African countries? No, just South Africa. We would like to have a good, positive relationship with Donald Trump. You know what? These people are unbelievable. Imagine being that devoid of humanity, of self-respect and dignity. You know what? If you're going to say it, you know, you need to be like me. When I said never close, never will, we never closed and never would. We didn't put out alcohol gel stations. We didn't put on masks. We didn't social. I mean, we didn't take any precautions at all. I was hugging Aaron every day. I was hugging everybody every day. We were jam-packed in the altars of our church. Just jam-packed. Almost on purpose, like. We took zero. You know what? You're going to say it. You need to stick with it. Let your yes be yes and your no be no for whatever is more than these from the evil one. But you see these spineless little globalist worms. When they cut off the money, suddenly all of their convictions are reversed. Let's go to the next one. Carly Bonet video. So this is the Trump section of the show. I forgot to introduce it. So here's a little expose on activist judges and the part is only 1 minute long and the part they play right now in America. Play for me.
Supreme Court rules 5-4 against Trump and why it matters. Activist judges just stole $2 billion from American taxpayers, and nobody's talking about the real problem. These rogue judges keep issuing national injunctions that completely paralyze presidential power. It's happening more and more since Dobbs. A district judge in Hawaii can now block policies affecting all 50 states. That's not how the Constitution works. When presidents get elected, they're supposed to have Article II powers to actually govern. But these judges are basically ruling the country from their benches. Senate Republicans need to start asking one key question to any judge nominee. Will you stop these illegal nationwide injunctions? Because right now, we've got judges acting like they're running the whole show while our elected president can barely enforce basic policies. This isn't a left or right issue anymore. It's about whether we still believe in separation of powers or we're cool with judge-made law destroying our democracy.
So everything's come back to the spiel that I've been saying for the last 5 years and 15 days to flatten the curve. What they did to Navarro, what they did to Bannon, what they did to Alex Jones, what they did to Mike Flynn, what they did to Roger Stone, what they did to numerous other people, whether it's Mar-a-Lago, whether it's the NYC case, what they're doing is hauling out either people, Republicans, or issues into blue jurisdictions with blue judges and blue juries and blue grand juries and blue appellate courts. So you have absolutely no chance of winning. That's what they do. They judge shop until they find the judge in the right circuit that will actually rule the way that you want them to rule. And they'll rule from the bench. Whether it's Engeron, whether it's Mershon, whether it's Tanya Shutkin, whoever it may be, they'll rule from the bench. And that's all that the Democrats have. Now, eventually, it may get to the place where you have to operate in your Article II powers as the executive branch. I don't believe he should have done it yet. I think Trump right now should go ahead and fight this out in the courts, because we're in the early stages, first 46 days of his presidency. But it may come to the place if because what you have here is you have a man, and we'll get to this in a minute, named Norm Eisen, who is behind all of this, who's orchestrating all of this from behind. He made sure that he launched the first lawsuit against Donald Trump at exactly 1 second after he was sworn in. He actually said this, and I'll play the video in a second, where he said, "We were standing by on the phone, and I had my people waiting to file the lawsuit 1 second after Trump sworn in." That's who these people are. They want to litigate from the bench via judge shopping. But Trump has Article II powers, and eventually he may have to step up and say, "I'm not listening anymore." What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Seriously, what are they going to do? There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. Eventually it ends up, of course, we lost this Supreme Court decision 5-4 to this Judge Ali, who ordered Trump to unfreeze USAID money. Now it's been kicked back to Ali, and Roberts and Barrett, who wrote the majority decision, which was against Trump, said that this Judge Ali was out of line and that he was full of judicial hubris was the quote. So they knew that he was out of line, that he really didn't have the power to do it, but they want to make sure that they remain, Roberts and Barrett want to make sure that they stay on the invitation list for all the cocktail parties inside of D.C. They want to appear reasonable, just like a lot of Christians. Bow at the altar of reasonableness. Does God want you well? Well, you just never know what God may do. I want to be reasonable. No, God wants you well. God wants you wealthy. That's what the Bible says. So you preach it. Just like you preach hellfire brimstone, you preach homosexuality is sin, fornication sin, lies is sin, that repentance is of absolute necessity as part of salvation. You preach it all, and then you preach God wants you wealthy, wise, and victorious. He wants and healthy. He wants you all of those things. You preach the gospel. You don't worry about whether people think you're reasonable or not. And if you're not going to be a constitutionalist, then resign from the SCOTUS. So Amy Coney Barrett and John Roberts ruled that the judge was out of line, but yet then backed up his decision. How can he be out of line and you back up his decision? But it gets kicked back to this district court judge, Ali, strike one, who has dual citizenship both in Canada and the United States, which should be a disqualifier for him to be a judge. But anyway, so it gets kicked back. And what they said is he has to rule now individually on spending. So he's going to have to rule on whether we should be spending $50 million on circumcisions in Mozambique. Should we be spending $50 million on condoms in Gaza? Should we be spending $50 million on contraceptives that, because funding is fungible, that it will go end up in the hands of the Afghani army in Afghanistan? That's because we have $50 million, $25, $50 million. I can't remember all the numbers on my Doge list anymore. But it's $25 to $50 million that we still spend. That we still spend in Afghanistan for their contraception. That we know that what that is it's actually John Kirby and Jake Sullivan actually funding the Taliban, funding the People's Liberation Army, funding the PLA inside of Afghanistan. They know that. And via doing that, they fund the other PLA, which is the Chinese Army, which has taken over Bagram Air Force Base, which they're all in favor of because they don't look at America as a sovereign nation. They look at America as a globalist state. So these activist judges are going to have to be dealt with in some way, shape, or form. It may come to the place where you have to ignore their decisions. You may have to do it because they don't have, you just have to say you don't have the authority. But this Judge Ali is now going to have to rule on specific spending, and he's going to have to put his own name on the line where it says, you know what, you're going to spend $50 million on condoms and contraceptives in Mozambique and Afghanistan, and that will be hysterical. And then what happens is Trump and his team will then... They will then seek the SCOTUS's opinion on those individual expenditures. They'll end up appealing those individual decisions back to SCOTUS. And most people think, credit Mike Davis on all this, that once the SCOTUS sees you as a judge are forcing the executive to spend $50 million on contraceptives in Afghanistan. Yeah, $25 million on a Muppet show, you know, in Iraq. That at that point, the SCOTUS will pull their heads. The two idiots, Roberts and Barrett, will pull their heads out of their rear ends and actually rule as a constitutionalist should rule. All right, go on to the next one. Daily Caller video. Oh, this is unbelievable. And remember, now, Aaron, you remember my advice from last night. My advice from last night was, if you are going to be a Democrat, because the Democrats are all into singing now, and they're singing on the floor when Al Green got censured, "We Shall Overcome," and they sound like a bunch of male cats with their testicles tied together trying to sing. And I'm like, why? If you're going to sing, find somebody like Aaron. He can sing. Yeah, Brett's wife, she's a worship leader. She can sing. Find people like that. Have them start off the song. And maybe some people who can sing on key will jump on board. And here's the thing. I mean, I'm just telling you this from years of pastoring church. Mic only them. Everybody else can come in, whatever. But mic only them. Nobody's listening to me. Like, nobody listens to me with the O'Keefe stuff either. She's too hot. She's working for O'Keefe. Remember that. I'm just trying to help out these Democrats. So now for Francis Collins, who allegedly, he's supposed to be a born-again Christian. But now he's singing at an anti-Trump rally. Remember, this is the former head of the NIH who pimped and hoarded the COVID vaccination, which has caused 36 million excess deaths. And by the way, the study's coming out of that. And I just want you to think of these things while I inflict this damage upon your brain of having to watch Francis Collins sing a song. That it's now turning out they're having this mass study in South Korea. Now, South Korea, they were absolute COVID totalitarians, man. You could not buy, sell, trade, or travel without your vaccine passport, without your PCR test and everything else. I mean, you couldn't have got much worse than Israel, than New Zealand, than Australia and South Korea. Horrible. Now, South Korea is doing a mass study, and they're finding out that tons and tons of people, tons of them, I'll break this out at some point. I'm just never getting to vaccines right now for some reason. I did a vaccine spiel about 2 weeks ago and I haven't gotten back to them since. But tons and tons of people are turning out to have VADs. They actually have vaccine-induced AIDS. They call it VADs. And these are the COVID totalitarians doing what I say they never do. They're actually admitting it. And here comes Francis Collins knowing right now that in our work age demographic in the United States of America, work age demographic, basically for simplistic, you know, I don't know the specific numbers, but it's basically 30 to 60. Okay. There's our work base, or even 24 to 60. In our worst work based demographic, excess deaths up 32%. He knows that. And he's going to go to a Trump rally and start spinning. It's a stand up for science rally. This is the science that you espouse is the science that's called VADs, and that's what you want to stand up for. But anyway, here's the former NIH director who claims to be a born-again Christian who went around and pimped vaccines to all the churches in California. The vaccines that have killed people, that caused them now to have VADs and have no immune system. The vaccine that has caused pericarditis, myocarditis, and 35 to 36 million excess deaths globally, according to the Society of Actuaries. But anyway, here he is leading everybody in song. Play it for me.
We're joined together by this noble dream. You got that? So it's just all the good people, but the second line, part of this family, and the last line, we're joined together by this noble dream. Do that with me. This is a song for all the good people. Come on. All the good people. We're part of this family. This is a song for all the good people. We're joined together by this noble dream. Well, this is a song for all of those dreamers who are looking for answers to come our way. Scientists, doctors, students, all seekers, we share in the hopes for a much brighter day. Come on now. Well, this is a song for all the good people, all the good people who are part of this family. This is a
let Aaron side by side it though, because I just want to show you something. Tell me though that's not worship. Show me that Aaron will put it side by side. Show me this is not worship. I mean, that's how I worship Sunday morning when I worship Jesus, I worship Yahweh. I worship the Holy Ghost. That's me. What they're worshiping, the devil. But I mean, they're worshiping Baal. I mean, but it really is a religion. I mean, you really have to walk by absolute faith to believe the things that these people are espousing. That these vaccines do anything. That the science, that every ounce of science has shown, real science has shown that they're completely wrong about climate change, wrong about vaccines, wrong about COVID, wrong about bird flu vaccines, we're wrong about culling 150 million chickens, and they're all, look at them worship, and they're wrong about everything. They're worshiping. Their God is the God of wrong. And that's what they're worshiping. But they're very devout. They're stupid, but they're very devout. All right, let's go to the next one. Let me show you these economic numbers. And wokeness tweet, 2017. Now look where the jobs are coming from. That's the key thing. That's the key thing in this tweet from End Wokeness. 2017 to 2020, the former Trump administration. Public sector means government jobs. So when I'm just going to call them government jobs. Public sector, government jobs added up to 9% of Trump's job growth. Government jobs. Every time that you would see from the Biden administration that they had a, remember Biden coming up through the various podiums saying, I'm leaving Trump, the greatest economic boom in American history, greatest economic recovery. They were counting government jobs and they were counting jobs given to illegals. And for some strange reason, you can go watch this on Peter St. Ange, they would somehow, and this is how they always work it. This is why sometimes the GDP may not be as great under a Republican administration, because the Republican administrations don't, generally speaking, and I know the Bushes and all that, don't juice the economy with bailouts, which are government jobs. And they actually equate those bailouts, whether it's the Inflation Reduction Act, whether it's just hiring a bunch of governmental employees, 87,000 IRS agents, they actually count that towards the GDP. So they say the GDP is rising because of the equation. Look at all the new jobs. So if you want to juice the GDP, just hire a bunch of government employees that don't do anything. As we've seen, USAID needs about 300 people to run a USAID. There was 14,000 people there. So but under Trump, he added 9% of his job totals were government jobs. 91% were in the private sector. Then you have the glorious Biden administration, where 31% of all of his job growth was government jobs, and only 69% of them were in the private sector. And now in Trump's first month, 7% of his job growth is government jobs. 93% of his job growth are now private sector jobs. You see all these companies pouring in to our country now, pouring in, whether it's the chips from Taiwan, whether it's Honda, whether it's Apple, $500 billion from Apple?
Yep.
$500 billion from the largest company on the planet, OpenAI. Is that Sam Altman?
Yep.
I mean, we're talking about it. It's up to, I believe, $1.7 trillion in 46 days Trump's brought in. $1.7 trillion. Where was all that? I mean, again, if you're a Democrat, why wouldn't you just simply walk up to a podium and say, man, Trump is doing great and we sucked? Because that's what's true. That's what I would say. If it was the Trump administration during 2021 to 2024, and you brought in absolutely no jobs and caused hyperinflation, and then, say, Kamala Harris won, and she's the president, and she brings in $1.7 trillion worth of economic growth, and her job rate is 93% private over 77% government, I'd be like, hey, job growth rate. I'm like, you know what? We were wrong. Wouldn't you, Aaron?
Yeah.
I would. I'd simply say I was wrong. Democrats got us. She's a better president than ours. I don't see any of that, because they'd rather be at Francis Collins' rally and worship that which is not true. You need to watch the sermon this Sunday. That's a lot of that's what it's about. All right, let me go to the next one. All right, Peter St. Ange tweet. EU announces $840 billion to rearm. Why didn't they do that last year? Why didn't they do that a decade ago, Aaron? I mean, why is it exactly they didn't do that? If they have $840 billion to protect themselves, then why were we paying for it? Part of a wider $3.3 trillion that they're actually going to spend to have a EU army, which is frightening in and of itself. Talk about an incompetent force. You ever see their various street parades with their trans activists? Let's go fight Putin. Let's go fight him. You know, we'll hit him. We'll hit him with, you know, with our sleeves. We'll go attack him with our pierced nipples. What men are you gonna find to fight in the EU? Who's gonna go fight with their pierced nipples? What are they gonna do? And then the men with lopped off penises, are they the ones that are gonna fight, or is it gonna be the women with sewn on dongs? Which one's it gonna be? I'm just curious. Who is it that's gonna go do the fighting? I'm just curious. So their penis is gonna fall off as they charge the front line. Oh my gosh, pick up my penis. Hey, Fred, I dropped it back about 100 yards. Can you pick up my penis?
Throw it at him.
I mean, yeah, right. Yeah, it could be used as a weapon. Rip that thing off and throw it at him. Think about how stunned you'd be as a Russian soldier to get a penis right between the eyes. That was made from the forearm skin of your arm, somebody's arm. Boom! We're being attacked, man. I mean, that's all the EU has. I mean, I'm dead to the wall serious. I'll show you. I'll prove this to you in a minute using statistical data. Amazing how much spare change they suddenly find when Uncle Sugar threatens to cut the credit card. Amazing. We said, you know what, you're going to have to defend themselves, and lo and behold, they have the money. But every other year, they make sure that they use American money. They claim they can't. NATO was put into place after World War II because Europe was so damaged, they were worried about the Soviet threat. And they've had all of these years since then. I mean, 40 to 2000 is basically 60 years. They've had 80 years to fix it, and they can't build their own army in 80 freaking years. And now, lo and behold, when they get told, you know, we may just move ourselves out of NATO and you're on your own, suddenly they have all the money. So in other words, they're ripping us off for the last 80 years, fully capable of defending themselves, and didn't do it. Now, I use that term loosely, fully able to defend themselves, because when you see the men of Europe, okay, I'm just flat out tell you, they're not capable of defending themselves. And by the way, that's not just me talking. That came from frontline testimony in the various wars we've been fighting with the UN, where you would actually hear European soldiers from various countries saying, when you were in trouble, you'd better hope the Americans were coming to save you, because your own country wouldn't come to save you. And your own country were cowards, and they wouldn't come. But the U.S. would always come to save you. And then they actually said they were always bigger, stronger, and faster than all of our soldiers. So who's going to defend? They're going to use a bunch of men with taped up penises to go attack Moscow. Good luck with that. Good luck with that, you bunch of freaking idiots. All right, let's go to the next one. And here's the thing. Here's the stats. You think that they're actually going to fight? Let's look. Would you fight for your country? Here it is, the polls that were given all over. I'll go to the countries that I actually know. You think Great Britain and Ireland, right? Man, they'd go fight for their country. I say, oh, Bobby, let's go to war. Okay, really? 33% are willing to go. In Great Britain, 38% of Ireland is willing to go, 29% of Spain, 29% of France. Let's go fight. No, Emmanuel Macron, who's married to an obviously married to a man, obviously. I mean, let's you know, do you realize this? Emmanuel, just leave this up. Emmanuel Macron has hired a publicity agency, like a publicity fixing agency in America, like a reputational fixing agency. I forgot what you call them in America. And what he's done is tried to get Candace Owens banned off of TikTok. Why wouldn't you just show us pictures of your pregnant wife at some point, like we've asked for Michelle Obama? PR firm. Thank you, Aaron. PR firm. They hired a PR firm here to fix their reputation. Why wouldn't you just simply expose that she's a woman? How hard would that be? Would that be hard, Aaron?
No.
I wouldn't imagine it'd be hard. I think all of us who are actually married to women in this room, we could all prove. We could all put out a picture of our very pregnant wives. We could all put out 500 pictures of them. We could give you testimonies from all the nurses that delivered our babies and actually said that these were actual women, not trying to deliver them out of a penis hole, but actually trying to deliver them. It's the podcast now, not church. I only swore off penis hole at church, not the podcast. Let's make that clear. So people think I'm not a man of my word. So back to, 14% of Italians are willing to fight the Russians. That's impressive. Germans, though, the Germans, right? They'll rise up, won't they? Yeah, only 23% of them are willing to fight the Russians. Just to let you know, look, all these countries that are actually willing to fight, hardly any of them are willing to fight, but yet they're going to spend $840 million and going to spend $3 trillion to build an army? Really? Like to see they're going to build a nuclear dome over Europe? Really? Because Emmanuel Macron, who's married to a man, says that they will? All right, let's go to the next one. All right, American First League, still on Trump, hopping all over the place. Now, let's go to Trump legal battles real quick. This is hearkening back a little bit, going back to the Alvin Bragg case. But, Sina, you're like, if anybody has the notion that these things should be forgotten, you are flat out wrong, because if you forget them, you are doomed to repeat them. I'm flat out telling you, if you don't deal with Alvin Bragg and somebody, whether it's Bragg, whether it's Colangelo, Michael Cohen goes back to prison again, whatever it is, if you don't deal with it now, they're coming back with another one of these 34 felony count prosecutions, which are absolutely absolutely ridiculous charge, trumped out, pun intended, trumped out of oblivion, trumped into nothing, was turned down by the U.S. attorney, turned down by Bragg himself initially until Colangelo went and reignited the case from the DOJ. Turned down from the DOJ itself, even, that these charges don't exist, these 34 felony counts. They don't exist, and I can't deep dive and do it. In my mind, I want to right now, but I'm going to turn that off, because if I do, that's 30-minute spiel. But anyway, if we don't go back and prosecute Hillary Clinton's 30,000 deleted emails, those are all felony. Every one of those deletions is a felony count, a felony obstruction of Congress right there. I mean, why? These are subpoenaed emails. Every time you deleted them, you committed a felony. Whether it's Clapper committing felony perjury, whether it's Brennan committing felony perjury, if the statute of limitations is not run out, we've got to go after these people. You have to. It's not vengeance. It's self-preservation. It's protection. So anyway, America First Legal, got to follow the people like Judicial Watch, America First Legal. These are the people that we've got to fund and we have to follow. The House Judiciary Committee's thorough investigation revealed that Alvin Bragg's hush money prosecution of President Trump was coordinated with President Biden. We all know that, but now the proof is coming out. Play for me.
A top official in Biden's Justice Department was dispatched to assist the Manhattan District Attorney's Office's prosecution of President Trump. In coordination with President Biden and his campaign's lawfare strategy, New York District Attorney Alvin Bragg resurrected a hush money zombie case under a legal theory that Bragg's predecessor had previously sent back into the grave out of concerns that felony charges would not hold up in court. Bragg's commitment to getting Trump gained him the support of senior Biden political operatives. One day after Bragg announced his primary campaign against his predecessor, Bragg received a contribution from Chirag Baines, who would later become deputy assistant to the president in the Biden White House. But Biden's operatives for Bragg did not stop there. In December 2022, New York District Attorney Alvin Bragg reportedly hired Matthew Colangelo to jumpstart his office's investigation of President Trump due to Colangelo's history of taking on Donald Trump and his family's businesses. At the Biden Department of Justice, Colangelo served as a politically appointed acting associate attorney general, the third highest ranking official in the Department of Justice. The committee's thorough investigation revealed that Bragg's hush money prosecution was coordinated with Biden. Despite the obvious links between Biden's Department of Justice and Bragg's District Attorney Office, Attorney General Merrick Garland refused during a congressional hearing to commit to turning over communications between his Department of Justice and Bragg's office. And the Department of Justice's follow-up response to the committee denied the existence of such communications. Our work at America First Legal revealed that, in fact, 36 responsive records existed between the Department of Justice and the New York District Attorney's Office. Thank you.
Again, if anybody has the mindset of let the past be the past and forget it, you can't. You can't. These same people will prosecute us again. And just to highlight what he said there, unfortunate name for America First Legal right there, Daniel Epstein. Like I told Aaron and Brent, I said, you know what? I would just change my name. I mean, he's a great person, but I changed my name at this point with that last name. But anyway, so Bragg announced his intention to run for district attorney in New York, right, under Letitia James. And as he made that announcement, of course, he did just like Letitia James did, because in order to be actually elected in New York, especially New York City, you're going to have to say that you want to get Trump, which Alvin Bragg did. He said, I'm running and I want to get Trump. Upon hearing that, Sherrod Paines, who is Joe Biden's deputy assistant, immediately donated to Bragg's campaign. That's weird, isn't it? This is all unbiased. This is all, you know, impartial, right? I thought this was all, you know, nonpartisan. If you're going to be a prosecutor, you have to be nonpartisan, right? Even though you ran as a nonpartisan candidate to get a political opponent. So December 2022 comes around. Bragg then hired the third in command of the DOJ. That's quite the step down. You're third in command of the DOJ. You're Matthew Colangelo. You're third in command, political appointee, third in command of the DOJ, and you take a line prosecutor job in New York City. That's quite the loss of pay, quite the loss of prestige. That's quite the working down the ladder of success. But lo and behold, he did it because Matthew Colangelo already had a long history of suing Donald Trump before that. So he goes and reignites the case with Bragg. Merrick Garland then refuses. Why would she refuse? Because everyone practicing evil hates light, does not come to light, lest their deeds be exposed. Jesus speaking, John chapter 3, verse 20. Merrick Garland then refuses to hand over communications between the DOJ and Bragg's office. Why would he do that? And then claim they didn't even exist. So imagine that. First of all, you refuse to hand them over. You say, I refuse to hand over these communications that do in fact exist for whatever excuse that I'm giving you, not to hand them over. And then later on you say, oh, wait, they don't exist. So which time did you lie? And then it was proven via America First Legal's lawsuit that there were actually 36 responsive records between the DOJ and Bragg. So this was a coordinated attack from the White House on Joe Biden's and Kamala Harris's number one political opponent, which, by the way, is a violation of Donald Trump's rights. It's an actually conspiracy. It's a felonious federal crime called conspiracy against rights. Everybody involved, I don't care whether Joe has dementia. I don't care whether Joe is incompetent. I don't care what his deal is. I don't care whether he's incoherent. I don't care. Biden needs to go to prison. Colangelo goes to prison. Bragg goes to prison. And if they don't, they're going to put you in prison. And that's the way you have to think of it these days. So who's behind all of these lawsuits that we're seeing from Judge Ali and all of these other judge-shopped cases? Make sure you get in front of a blue judge, blue jurisdiction, blue jury, blue grand jury, right? Who's behind all this? The researcher video, here's Norm Eisen bragging that he and his crew filed the first lawsuit against Trump. Play for me.
Now at CREW, we have 152 open legal matters against the Trump administration since January 20th. We filed the first one at 12:01 p.m. We want to file the very first lawsuit. I had somebody listening on their iPhone to the swearing in and standing at the GSA to drop a complaint on them about the Trump Hotel. Compelled by circumstances, and when Trump is ejected, as I believe he will be, then I'll help stitch up some of the damage and I'll go back to book writing.
There you go. All right.
He believes that Trump's going to be ejected. What exactly does that mean? But anyway, that's Norm Eisen. That's who's behind all these things. These little effeminate men. I've said this. I'm going to say it from the pulpit. I'll say it from here. I'll say it from the pulpit. We are led by women who want to be men. And again, see if you can find the worst political ad ever. Remember Choose Your Fighter from yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
That one. We're ruled by women who want to be men or effeminate men. That's what we're ruled by. But in both parties, by the way, both parties, for the most part. Again, Republicans are the only party where you actually have hope, where you have the Matt Gaetzes of the world, the Burchetts of the world, the MJT, Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world, MTGs of the world, people like the Trumps of the world, the Vances of the world, and many others that I'm not naming. You know, and there's even some infighting. Rand Paul, you know, he hates tariffs, but you know what? He's solid. And Ron Johnson, there's real Republicans, but really we're ruled by Aaron, just play it side by side and let them all kind of fast forward it. See if you can fast forward into the spot where the girls start to get in a fighting stance or whatever. And again, this is what we're ruled by. We're ruled by effeminate men or women who are trying to be, this is the older millennial video from last night. This is the Democrats think this is a great thing to do right here. Choose your fighter. This is what we're ruled by. This is why we're $36 trillion in debt, because these idiots are in charge. These morons are in charge. How would you not know that maybe you need to cut spending instead of making a ridiculously stupid video? I mean, they actually think this is a good thing to do right here. I could make it worse by playing the sound, but I don't have time. All right, let's go to the next one. The Vigilant Fox tweet. So that's Norm Eisen. More about Norm Eisen. New data Republican exposes how an NGO claiming to promote. So how does Norm Eisen get paid, Aaron? I mean, you're wondering how these guys get paid. They're multimillionaires living in high-rise condos, making millions of dollars, but they never actually produce a product. They never actually sell anything. Maybe they sell their services, but who do they sell their services to? Who would actually pay Norm Eisen to be sitting there? Okay, tell me the minute that he swears in. All right, file the lawsuit. Who pays him to do that? Who would pay him to do that? Who would be that fervent? Who'd be that passionate about it? Democratic Party NGOs that Brent pays for, Aaron pays for, I pay for, and the 1,100 people that are watching this pay for, that I can see are watching this online. We're also live on Christian Television Network worldwide. But anyway, Data Republican exposes how an NGO pays Norm Eisen. And who pays the NGO? You and me. We actually pay for our own political destruction. Isn't that great? We, you and I, are paying Norm Eisen to sue us, to sue the person that we elected to be president of the United States. How an NGO claiming to promote democracy, of course, it's always democracy because the world's inverted. Whenever you see the word democracy, it means totalitarianism. Whenever you see the word healing, it actually means death. Whenever you see the word safe and effective, it means unsafe and deadly. And receive this NGO claiming to promote democracy received $17 million. So not only does Joe Biden dispatch Matthew Colangelo to go prosecute Donald Trump, he also sends $7 million to a quote-unquote NGO that hires a law firm to sue Donald Trump. The only thing that they did with $17 million was make one terrible Muppet show. That's what they did. Norm Eisen's NGO, probably one of the many that he's affiliated with, J.B. Pritzker, governor of Illinois, is CEO, basically, of 59 government-funded NGOs. He's the guy who owns Hyatt Hotels. That is crap, explicit word. The NGO, co-founded by, there he is, Norm Eisen, calls itself the State's United Democracy Center. And all they could manage with the $17 million was about 200 views per episode of their knockoff Muppet show, because the rest of the money, as always, is fungible, gets redirected from its democracy cause into, again, when it's an NGO, it's taxpayer funded, it's staffed completely and totally by Democrats who are making exorbitant salaries, who then can hire lawyers, Democratic Party lawyers like Perkins Coie, who just lost a security clearance. They can hire them for exorbitant fees. Just like Fannie Willis hiring Nathan Wade for exorbitant fees. That's what happens. That's what Norm. So you and I are actually paying Norm Eisen via NGOs that we fund through our taxpayer dollars to sue our president. Think about it. $17 million, and they produced a Muppet show that got 200 views. It's because the rest of the money goes into various other Democratic Party initiatives, or not even initiatives. They just pay themselves and get rich off of it, and then make giant political campaign donations. All right, go to the next one for me. PAMC Now video. All right, this one's great. This is the end of the Trump section. Then we're going to go on to Doge. PAMC's Now video. I'm in agreement. I got to let the video pretty much speak for itself. So the Dems have found a new way to protest Donald Trump. Play for me.
This is the best. Liberal women now think that wearing a mask is the best way to protest Trump. Roll this.
Effective form of protest you have right now that you can start immediately. Put a mask back on. Stop letting them observe your face. And have the side benefit of better health and protecting the rest of us in the world.
First off, this is great. I don't want to look at your face anyway. But second off, this is a win-win. You're virtuous, and I don't have to look at you.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally nothing else to say, right? You're not do it. I'm not even gonna, this is the one time I'll ever agree with the leftists. Yes, you're correct. I don't wanna look at her. You know what I had, Carl, on my desk at all times, because I do this when Joy Reid pops on the screen? I have my eclipse glasses from last year. You can't see anything with these on. When you put that woman on the TV, I was about to put this on because my eyes, they started to burn. So please, you know what I say? We're gonna do mask mandates for ugly people only, right? Mask mandates for ugly people only, starting with that one, right? She's a real beauty, isn't she? I am totally, totally fine with everything she has to say. I never agree with the left. There's an exception to every rule, and today is that exception.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I can just go home at this point. That's the end of the show. So.
that you can start immediately. Put a mask back on. Stop letting them observe your face. And have the side benefit of better health and protecting the rest of us in the world.
First off, this is great. I don't want to look.
Higher sleeve of Thin Mints, one right after another, like I was making it rain. To her. And that's how she ate. If you sound like that as a human being, you know what you are? You're a pig. And I mean, if you're going to go on video and you're going to sit there and clean your teeth, I mean, you're just, that shows you how socially inept and incoherent the left is. I can go on and on that. I could do a 30-minute spiel on mouth noises, but I'm not going to do that to you. Let's go to the next one. Lips to TikTok. Little trans update, then we're going to Doge. I kind of don't put these on all the time because there's so many of them, but I just got to show you one, maybe one to show. Morgan Geyser, that's a woman pretending to be a man, the infamous Slender Man, the stabber, who was sentenced to 40 years in a mental hospital, is set to be released, isn't that great, by a judge after only serving 10 years, sentenced to 40 years after stabbing people. Morgan is reportedly now identifying as a transgender male named Ethan, is using a chest binder, isn't that great, and told, and so pretty soon she's going to get her, you know, going to get her forearm sliced off and then have a prosthetic penis sewed onto her. After she inverts her own vagina. And then told staff to use male pronouns. Call me Ethan. The trans criminal is about to be on the streets again. Can you put up the pic for me, Brent? There she is. Pretending to be a guy. Now that's somebody. Would you ever let that out of a mental hospital? I mean, listen, you're like. Those of you might believe that you are not to judge. That's not true. Please read your Bible. You're only not to judge when you're doing the same things. You can judge this and say, you know what? That should never be let out of a mental hospital. When you're actually called Slender Man, you're called Slender Man Stabber, you probably ought not. You got a 40-year sentence, and you only served 10 out of 40. And now you're even more mentally ill than you were before, because at least when you were the Slender Man Stabber, you identified the proper sex, and now you're taping up your breasts and going to have a penis sewed onto you, and you're going to call yourself Ethan, and they're going to let her out based that somehow or another she has somehow mentally recovered. Or that she's been made mentally stable and they're going to let her out. She's let out for political reasons because she's identifying as trans. Absolutely repulsive. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, let's get into Doge. Jesse Waters video. This is really about, it's titled Hunter Biden is officially broke, because they do talk about that. Hunter Biden, for some reason, Hunter Biden has lost all of his painting sales now that Joe's no longer president. And again, how can he be a Democrat? How can you be a Democrat and defend any of that when you know he's selling his paintings for $500,000 a pop when Joe Biden is president? Because we know that half of his income goes to pop. I mean, how can you be a Democrat? You know that it's a political slush fund for Joe Biden's family, that it's bribery. You know that that's the case, but you just pretend it's not, because lo and behold, it's just like weird how all the Clinton Foundation money dried up the second she was no longer Secretary of State. And then it started coming back in when she was running for president, but when she lost, it dried up again. And then as a Democrat, you somehow defend that as if that's not political bribery and mass corruption. But really what this video is about is specific government waste spending. Play it for me.
Biden's Inflation Reduction Act was a Trojan horse for the Green New Scam. That was run by Hillary's hatchet man, John Podesta. And he says he has nothing to do with who got the money, but big surprise, Biden and Obama's friends got rich. The Free Press found that when Biden announced he was giving out money to fight climate change, Democrats and donors with ties to Biden and Obama lined up for grants. Some of them even formed new nonprofits right after they heard about the climate cash. Stacey Abrams was hired by a group called Rewiring America. Then they were awarded $500 million in taxpayer money. Ari Matsuyak is the CEO of that same organization. He worked in the Obama administration and donated thousands to Kamala. Beth Bafford is the CEO of the Climate United Fund, which got $7 billion of your money. $7 billion. Beth worked for the Obama campaign and White House earlier in her career, but told Primetime there's no relationship between Climate United and any political party. I'm sure of it. Richard Kaufman also worked for Obama, and he's a big-time donor, big time. He sent over $500,000 to Democrats. He got a good return on his investment, though. His group, Coalition for Green Capital, got $5 billion. Oh, but they say they're nonpartisan. The Opportunity Finance Network was awarded more than $2 billion. Their CEO, Harold Pettigrew, who got the job months before the grant's application went public, worked under Biden. If you want to get rich quick, start a nonprofit.
It basically, the government-funded NGOs are a way to do things that would be illegal if they were the government, but are somehow made legal if it's sent to a so-called nonprofit. But these nonprofits are then used to, people cash out these nonprofits. They become very wealthy through nonprofits. They pay themselves enormous sums through these nonprofits.
And how many NGOs?
I think there's a total number of NGOs, probably millions, but in terms of large NGOs, tens of thousands.
If Democrats were really concerned about climate change, why are they funneling cash to all their friends instead of just sending it directly to solar and wind companies? These people can't figure out how to run a company even with free money. Biden gave a solar panel company, Sunnova, a $3 billion loan. And now they say they're about to go bankrupt. Why'd Sunnova get the check? Well, it doesn't hurt that Sunnova's director served on a board with the head of Biden's energy loan program. Joe basically made a big mess giving our money to his friends and didn't lower the Earth's temperature a smidge. Now it's time for the Trump team to prosecute graft and get us a refund.
So I hate to burst anybody's bubble, and I know that there's almost 1,300 people that I can see watching right now, and most of you are already red-pilled, but basically, I'm 56. My entire life, when I've had somewhere between 20 and 40% of my income stolen from me because a lot of it was like FICA, and that's gone because the Social Security Trust Fund has been completely raided and it's completely empty. But all that money that you and I have paid in federal income taxes, whether it's income taxes, whether it's taxes on goods, whatever it may be, that tax money, again, somewhere between, we bring in between $4 and $5 trillion worth of tax revenue per year has basically been farmed out to Democratic Party NGOs staffed by Democrats, paying Democrats, hiring other Democrats, hiring attorneys, funding other campaign, funding Democratic Party causes and campaigns, and then funding Democrats to run those causes that are funded by the Democratic Party NGO. That's what all of our tax dollars. We've been funding our own opposition. I'll bet you we've been funding ActBlue the entire time. I bet you it's all ending up through NGOs, right? We certainly have been funding Planned Parenthood. We're funding the butchering of American citizens. But anyway, unbeknownst to us, but now it's all been, I didn't know this. I knew there was NGO corruption, believe me, but I honestly didn't know the scope of it. I had no idea. So anyway, so we got Johnny Podesta running the Inflation Reduction Act. That's Johnny Podesta's art in his home. Right there. I mean, now, would you ever be motivated to have a picture of a child strung up in a shower or kids in their underwear handcuffed behind their back in pseudo-provocative leg-spreading poses? I'm just curious, would you? Ugh. I'm just curious. Would you have that in your home? Because that's the guy running the Green New Scam, the Inflation Reduction Act money. Johnny Podesta, who also ran the Transition Integrity Project, which was basically the unlawful resistance of Trump if he got elected in 2020. It was also many other people, and that was also NGO funded also. But anyway, so that's Johnny Podesta's running that. Now, he gave money. You can just leave that up the whole time, Aaron, unless I get sick of it. He gave the money out. Let's go over the list here that Jesse Waters just gave us. Stacey Abrams' organization, which is the Rewiring America organization. So what she would do, now her big fat should mix in a salad body, never actually went out and did any work herself, but they would go out and say, hey, Brent, you know, Aaron, hey, Tom, your dishwasher is not environmentally friendly, so the government is going to buy you one. So they received $500 million. $500 million, folks, for an organization is your set for life money. It's small potatoes in comparison to others that received hundreds of billions, but $500 million, you're set for life because they didn't actually go around and do much replacing. So they just sit on that money. It spins on itself. And then the year before, Rewiring America had I don't even think it existed. But lo and behold, it right under the wire gets $500 million from the Biden administration. And the person who runs that, so Stacey Abrams is going out there deciphering whether or not you need a new dishwasher, washer, dryer that would be more environmentally friendly, right? And she gets paid. Now, remember, when she took that job, she was worth less than, she was worth negative money. Now she's worth over $3 million because she's getting paid probably $1 million a year out of the $500 million that we're giving her to sit around and do absolutely nothing except for chain swallow Hershey bars. So anyway, and the person who actually runs that NGO is a guy named Ari Mastusiak, who he's the CEO of Rewiring America that got $500 million, and he's a major Hillary donor. Run, again, because John Podesta, but all these are supposed to be unbiased, nonpartisan, bipartisan NGOs. They say, that's what John Podesta said, you know, who I gave this money to had nothing to do with their political affiliation, except no Republicans received any of the money. I mean, there's no political affiliation except for the fact that not $1 went to any Republican or right-leaning NGOs, if there is such a thing. Then you had the Climate United NGO, run by Beth Bafford, who worked directly for Barack Hussein Obama. They received $7 billion, and Climate United the year before brought in $100 in donations. $100. And then were fully funded by Kamala Harris herself 5 months before she left office. Richard Kaufman is the CEO of Coalition for Green Capital. They received $5 billion. And he is a donor that gave a half a million dollar donation to the Democrats himself, and then received, so for his half a million, he received $5 billion. That's a pretty good investment. That must be part of the Nancy Pelosi stock trader. You must have followed that. All right, so let's go to the next one. Next one is the Opportunity Finance Network, run by Harold Pettigrew, and they received $2 million, and he worked directly for Joe Biden himself. So, John Podesta, I thought you said that this was unbiased and nonpartisan, but the only people getting the money are hyper-leftists that work directly for Obama or Biden. That's weird, isn't it? Then, of course, you had the Sunnova company, which I believe is a solar panel company. They got a $3 billion loan that will never be paid back because they're now bankrupt. And their director served on the board with the head of Biden's energy loan program. Another Democrat receiving Democrat our money. I was going to say Democrat money. No. It's our money funding these NGOs, so Democrats become rich. Those Democrats who are now rich can now donate hundreds of millions of dollars per year to Democratic Party campaigns, can hire Perkins Coie and all these other Democratic Party law firms at exorbitant rates, because it doesn't really matter because you're using foundation money, which is Brent's money, Aaron's money, your money, my money that funded the NGO that's now funding all these Democratic Party projects and Democratic Party prosecutions of our politicians. Let's go into, let's look, I love these parts. Let's look at an individual congressman, shall we? Wall Street Apes video. This is Tennessee Congressman, side by side there, Aaron. This is Tennessee Congressman Mark Green. And he, this guy right here, has somehow outperformed, don't play the video, just leave it. Yeah, just leave it. There you go, I just want the, yeah, there you go. This guy somehow or another has outperformed even Nancy Pelosi. Here's Nancy Pelosi's stock return. Her return in 2024, how much do you think she gained off her stocks? A great year in stocks is 8%. I mean, that's actually considered to be aggressive. Like you say to your financial consultant, your finance manager, I want to be aggressive with my stocks this year. I can earn 8-9%. Nancy Pelosi earned 92% last year. So she basically doubled her stocks last year. 92% increase. She made 92% on her stocks. Mark Green whooped her. Mark Green, he made 122% on his stocks last year. All right, now we're ready. Play for me, guys.
This politician is a better stock trader than Nancy Pelosi, and she had a return of 92% in 2024. That's criminal. And for Mark Green's return, 122%, making him over $21.5 million. He bought a brand new 5-story mansion just off the coast of Alabama. Mark Green trades stocks that he directly oversees via the committees he sits on, which gives him insider information almost every single day. He's required to disclose his stock trades to the public, so when he buys, I buy. buy, and when he sells, I sell. If you want to do this too, go to boarsfinance.com.
I have a spouse that's really good at insider trading.
Yeah.
Like Paul Pelosi.
It's a lot more than insider trading.
The way they're acquiring wealth.
Correct.
And what other methods?
I mean, this is really going to get me assassinated. It's like, I'm not lengthening my lifespan by explaining this stuff, to say the least. I mean, I was supposed to go back to D.C. How am I going to survive? This is going to kill me for sure. I actually have to be careful that I don't push too hard on the corruption stuff, because it's going to get me killed.
So Mark Green is trading in companies that he himself regulates and oversees. So he can regulate himself into a stock profit. He can regulate himself into buying and selling right at the right moment. And he has. And Elon is saying it's even more than all of this, because Aaron was saying it. It's also funding yourself through your own NGOs also. When you're J.B. Pritzker and you're the CEO over 59 separate NGOs that are funded by you and me. And it goes to Fat Pritzker. Mark Green made $21 million. How in the world last year in 1 year trading stocks, $21 million. I mean, isn't it strange that every time we show a video of a congressman or woman, these are people that are making somewhere between $150,000 and $200,000 a year. That's it. 174 is the mean, right? How in the world do these people have seven security guards around them? Each one of those security guards making $100,000 a year. I'm just curious how, because they are trading in stocks that they regulate, or they're receiving NGO money that you and I are unbeknownst to us giving to them. These NGOs that send Eric Swalwell on worldwide trips and pay for his security and his lavish wine and his steaks, all through NGOs. Because like Elon said, the NGOs are able to do what government isn't allowed to do via some sort of plausible deniability, because they put some name on it. Like Poverty Protection 101, Climate Accord, 7, whatever it may be. And all it is, again, is billions of dollars going to an institution that does nothing except be staffed by Democrats and paying them exorbitant salaries. Mark Green makes $21 million. Do we not? I mean, imagine if we actually had a media following Mark Green around. Mark, exactly how in the world did you buy a 5-story mansion or whatever it was? How in the world did you buy this? How are these guys flying around on private jets? But don't worry. Now, Bernie came up. This is one of the most astute observations I have ever heard. Bernie Sanders has gotten to the bottom of the Social Security problem that we have, where we have 300-year-olds and 200-year-olds and 150-year-olds receiving Social Security checks. Bernie Sanders has solved the mystery. Play it for me, Brent.
Nobody. Who was 150 years old, or 200 years old, or 300 years old, is receiving Social Security checks.
Oh, really, Bernie? Wow, you are so astute. We need to just call you Sherlock Holmes or Watson. You are so astute. Thank you for solving that mystery, that there isn't actually a 200-year-old, 300-year-old, 150-year-old, 139-year-old. There's 3 million Americans who are 139 years of age receiving a Social Security check every year. But Bernie says they're not actually, no kidding, Bernie, somebody is, though. It's not the point, you idiot. Yeah, I mean, these are the people, again, running our country. They make life and death decisions. They decide whether or not people go to prison for the rest of their lives. They file impeachment paperwork and vote yay or nay on impeachments. People like that right there. Can you imagine that? Here's another one for you. Wall Street Apes video. It looks like Governor Janet Mills of Maine isn't the only corrupt Democrat in Maine. Play it for me.
Rich politician Shelley Pingree's net worth before joining politics was just $316,000. And just 4 years later, it spiked to $46 million. How is this possible? She bought an island vacation house just for fun and flies on a private jet from her island to her job in Washington, D.C. It turns out that several politicians use under-the-table information to trade stocks. And the fact that Shelley Pingree's in politics means she might also have access to that kind of information.
Man, that's amazing, isn't it? You're out of politics, really? And then you're worth $316,000, which isn't much. And then 4 years later, And I even got a gasp from my own people. You go up to $46 million in 4 years and nobody investigates any of these things? Where's the, oh, the FBI is too busy arresting people who saying how great they are in front of abortion clinics. Shouldn't you be looking into congressmen and women who make $170,000 a year and in 4 years somehow make $46 million? Or let's go back to Marky Green, who makes $21 million in 2024. Nancy Pelosi made 92% on her stocks in 2024. Mark Green made 122%. Hey, Brett, skip that one and go to the next one. Kathleen Winchell.
Okay.
Here's Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Play it for me.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz, she's now a two-time top five political stock trader.
Speaking of filthy.
She honestly is one of the five or six that I personally track, like that I know a decent amount about because of how many times she has conflicts of interest, what she trades. For example, she bought this company called Viasat. And what Viasat does is they're a military contractor. They're like a Starlink, like Elon's thing. But they do the communications for the military. They get hundreds of millions of dollars of contracts from, you know, this or that. She sits on the committee that oversees military construction.
So she's buying stock in companies that she oversees and regulates. Again, I wonder why she wants us to be in the Ukraine war. I wonder why she wants endless wars. Because she made 74% of her stocks last year. She's a two-time top fiver. Why is nobody else enraged about this but me? Maybe the 1,300 people that are watching right now, you're enraged. People ought to be enraged. I hope that the deputy director of the FBI, Dan Bongino, and the head of the FBI, Kash Patel, will actually do a deep dive because there's no way for people to make this money legally. Even if it simply was that they are buying stocks in companies that they regulate and oversee, that is a federal crime. It's called insider trading, and they need to be prosecuted for it. All right, 1018, that's good. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Rumble Rants. Texas Billy, $75. Thank you so much. Nate Dad One, $20. Thank you so much. Order in the Court, $10. Thank you so much. Patty K, $44, $5. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, so much in the chat, too. Love you guys. Oh, Foundation Church, join us here this Sunday. Kind of down a little bit. We were in the fives last week. It was kind of depressing. We need to break our record, 7-12. Join us at Foundation Church this Sunday at 10 a.m. Stick around for the, just so you know about Foundation Church, I'll be taking the stage about 11 a.m. You'll see Aaron about 10:15 leading worship. So join us. Trump is great, but you got to have a savior, and his name is Jesus. So join us at Foundation Church. If I don't see you then, I'll see you Monday at 9 o'clock as always. Love you all. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.